Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. My name is Brandon Ginden, and I am the senior pastor at Real Life Ministries Texas. And here on the podcast, I am with my good friend and ministry partner, Lori Arnold.
Hey, friends.
And we are so grateful that you are joining us today on this podcast and in this specifically this episode, as we've been in a series about the church and looking at and talking through and challenging our understanding and definition and how we view the church. And I've said this on the previous podcast, this topic is just very close to, for both Lori and I, our heart, because yes, we serve in a ministry capacity here at Real Life Ministries Texas, and we get to do this together as teammates, but also just in our own lives, like how God has used his church in our lives and that we get to be a part of and see the mission and the mission lived out. And so I want to encourage everybody, if you missed the previous episodes, we've been kind of building on this topic. I would really encourage you to go back and listen to those and kind of fill in these pieces. But we're grateful that you're here listening to this today. And so we're going to take the conversation further about the church. We've been looking at these different analogies or descriptions that are used in the New Testament about the church. We looked at the church as the body of Christ, and then the family of God, and how the church is described in Scripture as a family. And today we're going to look at one that is a beautiful picture, and that is the bride, of how the church is the bride of Christ, and how often that language is used throughout Scripture. And it's beautiful. And so we want to jump into this this discussion today, Lori, and I want to look at a passage that's actually John the Baptist is speaking about Jesus. He's describing him, of who he is, and he uses this term in John chapter 3, and when describing Jesus, and he's, I want to read it. It starts in John chapter 3, verse 27. It says, John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice." Now, that passage, he continues to refer to Jesus as the bridegroom, the husband, and that this husband has a wife, yeah, a bride. And we know through Scripture and study that is the church, the ecclesia. It is his called out ones, or are his bride. When we get into Ephesians 5, that whole section of Scripture describing that Christ has loved the church, and it gives the analogy for us as in this world as husbands and wives, and it compares the Jesus as the husband and the church being his bride.
Yeah.
So we see multiple places in Scripture that this is described. And so it makes me think, Lori, about, I always kind of bring up the images in my mind over the years being in ministry. I've had the opportunity to do many weddings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you think about a wedding, right? We can say whatever, but the wedding is about the bride, right? Like the guy's there, he's doing his part, he's making the commitment, and it's wonderful and good. But you know, the whole crowd doesn't stand when the groom walks in. The whole audience doesn't turn and look and ooh and ah over the groom. It's the bride, and that's good. And I think it absolutely should be that way.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. But also, so to me, there is a principle, and this is what I want to get to today, because I think this is what's lost in our kind of translation and understanding of the bride. Is there is this reverence, mm-hmm, if you will, a respect, an awe over the bride and how she looks and the role, this honoring.
Yeah.
And reverence. And that's a beautiful thing. And then I think about today, the bridegroom, Jesus being the husband, his bride, the church, that I don't know that I really see that kind of a reverence today or an honoring of the church.
Yeah.
I think and it's so common, almost the church is in some ways is viewed as, I mean, when we think about it, it's just simply viewed as something that we go to or that we attend on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Well, that's not reverent. Or at least it doesn't seem to be. And because really how we revere the church or revere a bride at a wedding ceremony is how we act and treat her. Mm. And I look at it today and go, do we as Christian people, and I'm talking just in broad stroke generality, do we treat the bride of Christ with the type of reverence that Jesus would want us to? You know, if we revered the church, would we fight as much over silly things?
Yeah.
Would people just hop from church to church when they're unhappy about something? You know, part of reverence and revering the church would be to be obedient and work through our differences.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. And so, anyway, that's kind of where I wanted to start us today and having us all kind of put in the context of the bride of Christ and what that looks like. And so, thoughts, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Yeah, I think that that's spot on. You know, how do we care for the church? How do we as the church care for the church?
Yeah.
And we kind of touched on it last week a little bit with just those relationships and as you're talking about, you know, fighting over stupid stuff, like stuff that doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
The way we handle our relationships, the way that we respond when we're offended, those kinds of things. You know, as the bride of Christ, we are like a bride is preparing, you know, to marry her husband. Mm-hmm. She is making sure that every detail is taken care of, that everything is, she's almost delicate even.
For sure.
You know, and so not that we like, you know, have to walk on eggshells around each other, but like we need to treat it with such a delicacy and like this reverence, mm-hmm. you know, because it is precious yeah. and we are to be holy, you know, yeah. that's like every day, Lord, that's my prayer, you know, yeah. make me holy like you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I will never be Jesus, right. you know, but, I want to be more and more like him every day. And so there's this preparation to meet with him and there's a faithfulness that's happening in the waiting even, mm-hmm. you know? So there's definitely, I don't see the reverence, as you're mentioning, you know, that for the church as a whole, because right. I think so many people, and that's why I'm so glad we're doing this, this series, but so many people have forgotten, or some just don't know what the church, what God's church is supposed to be.
Right.
And it's not right. just this physical building, you know, it should be a unified like force, really, because right. it says to storm the gates of hell, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So, that's not a real country. I said hail. Anyway, y'all know what I was trying to say, but, I digress. So there is a certain reverence that I do believe is lacking. And I think it'd be worthwhile to get back to that.
Yeah. You know? I think also if you look back through church history now, there's a side of this that went very dysfunctional and unlike we people always do with the church. But when you look in, you know, historically through the church and in like even how buildings were built and some of the religious practices, whether it be around communion or baptism, and there was a reverence in some of that. I think some of the intentions were good. Now, some of them went really bad and crazy, ridiculous things with finances and even things that occurred within the Catholicism and
yeah.
right. All of these different and then the pendulum swings and right. But there's also, there is some things that I've always loved about the liturgy within the church, mm-hmm. that holds some of the reverence, yeah. that is important. And, you know, if we could not swing pendulums and live in a place of not making it about the religious act,
yeah.
but our heart is to revere what the church is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of spend time around these topics and look at it and go, in our lives, of what does that look like? It you know, it can come down to as simple as loving our neighbor, not fighting over silly things and not being easily offended. And, but also in a part of going, how do I serve the people around me? How do it, you know, my reverence, when they were being reverent in the book of Acts, we shared this on the last episode. And I read from there about taking care of each other, meeting in our homes, you know, living out the word of God as the apostles taught it, all of those principles, that's being reverent. That's yeah. being the body. It's walking out what the church is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think that part of it is just, I mean, it's so missed. And again, I just want to keep kind of painting this tension between what the world has turned the church into versus what the New Testament intended it to be. What Jesus meant his church to be. And sometimes the gap is just so massive.
Yeah.
And to understand that when a non-Christian person comes in and they have this, like so many times, and I've heard these stories, people will come into the church because they're at their very end. Like, okay, this is the last resort. We heard that church could help. Yeah. Maybe the church will save our marriage. Maybe church could help me help my 21-year-old son that's struggling with an addiction. Maybe whatever the issues, it drives them in kind of the doors, if you will, to a service. Yeah. There's an expectation that God's going to be there and somehow that's going to help. And I get all of that. But if the body, us as the body, don't have that reverence as us being the bride and mm-hmm. who we are and how we live and how we live together, we're not walking in the power of what the church is supposed to be. So all a person really could experience is a Sunday morning, maybe service. Mm-hmm. They sang some songs, they ate a cracker, and they went home or whatever. And I know it sounds like I'm minimizing, and I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm just trying to paint. No. So often I've heard in 26 years of ministry, I've heard these stories over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And I think at the heart of what we're trying to do at Real Life Ministries Texas is be what the New Testament says.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not perfect,
right?
But I'm trying to lead us in that direction and say, this is, we want to be this. And because in a revered bride of Christ that walks up being the body of Christ. And so what are your thoughts on some of that?
No, that's really good. It's being the church, being mm-hmm. the church. Mm-hmm. And I love that we do have that here. And that's something that we strive to do daily. It's a daily thing. It's not a Sunday morning, Wednesday night, you know, yeah. it's a daily thing and it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, if one thing that I read when I was doing a little bit of research before this episode, this title got me. I just kind of had to sit there for a second. But the title of this article was, "Do You Insult Your Savior's Bride?"
Ooh. the title's brutal. I don't even yeah. know what the article is. But
"Do You Insult Your Savior's Bride?"
Mm.
And so immediately I thought about his people and the people that are in the church that frustrate me, that make me upset, that sometimes annoy me, mm-hmm. that, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, they are the church. And that's how I should live my life. They mm-hmm. are the church too. They're yeah. a part of the body of Christ. Yeah. And so that's a bit of that living it out that we're talking about. You know, how are we treating one another?
Mm-hmm.
How are we caring for one another? Because I surely would not insult my Savior's bride. I wouldn't think that I would,
mm-hmm.
but I think that oftentimes we do unintentionally do that. And mm-hmm. so, we should absolutely care for his bride and care. That means caring for and loving his people well.
Yeah.
And, that was just something that got me when I was reading up on this.
Yeah.
Cause that is the practical piece. That is a large part of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Caring for.
Yeah. I think it's one of the reasons why, I mean, when I've whether it be writing a blog or even books, you know, that I've had the opportunity to write, Disciple Making Culture or Intentional, either one of those, the heart behind it has been to help people understand and learn and be committed to, this is what the church is supposed to be. This is the mission that we're on. It's the greatest calling all of us have could ever be a part of, to understand, to be Jesus' church here in this world, be the light, be the salt, be all the things that he says we're supposed to be ambassadors. And to think about, again, that his church is to be revered, and we're to uphold that and walk in that. And for us to evaluate our lives, I think, like you're saying, and go, is what I'm doing, how I'm behaving, you know, say that title again. Read it one more time.
Do you insult your Savior's bride?
Oh, man, every time, like, to think of it this way, like, I've seen people with agendas that you know, they're trying to split the church.
Yeah.
We have to be so, you got to ask the question, like, harming the bride, insulting the bride. Yeah. There's action things that people do, but I think also, if you're withdrawn and not part of it or involved in it, you're insulting the bride.
Right.
It's like, no, you're supposed to be part of this with us.
Yeah.
Don't go hide in the corner. Come be, we're kind of stronger together. We're better together. All of those types of principles. Yeah. And another thing that's popped into my mind many times is, you know, to look at the church as a whole, and whether it be being in a conference or writing or whatever that I've done, is to really try to caution myself and to say, be careful of what I say and do, because it is Jesus' bride.
Yeah.
Like, to not get hypercritical of it, try and come with solutions. You know, it's so easy. I mean, I deal with this, unfortunately, more than I want to, is people's criticisms of it, being critical of the church.
Yeah.
And I can be critical of the church, but understanding we are the church,
right,
and to be so careful with that, and to go, no, I want to bring solutions and help and be a part of it. Another part of it is what is some of this I can just let go of and not be offended.
Right.
And to just go, no, it's okay. And we're going to do this together, and understanding, because how we revere the church is a testimony to what the non-Christian world looks at.
Yeah.
Why would I want to be a part of something if the people that are in it don't even really revere it?
Yeah.
I think we kind of got to sit in that a little bit. Don't you? I mean, don't you think so?
Absolutely.
What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I've heard that countless times, you know. I've seen it all over Facebook, and, you know, especially when certain things happen, just the comments that people make about the church, and like, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so we should be different. It should look different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, this is true. And I would really want to encourage everybody, you know, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, you're going, gosh, I'm, you know, what does that look like for me? I think for all of us to take steps in a direction, going, we're not going to be wrong by revering Jesus's bride more.
Yeah.
Now, for some, you're in a situation where maybe the church she's not very healthy of where you're at. We're really struggling. And so I want to encourage you, but still, we do our part to revere the church as best we can. If you're not in a church at all because you've been hurt or because the church hasn't been healthy, then I want to encourage you to maybe find a place that it is, to go and try and be a positive contributor that reveres the church, that uplifts the church. And thinking about that, about how can you help or be a part of the solution, be part of helping the church be more revered by the world and influencing that. So that's just some of the questions, you know, I think all of us need to wrestle with. I'm going to wrestle with that and what I do in my role and walking in that. And so, Lori, as we wrap up, are there any other final thoughts or encouragement to everybody?
Yeah, I think on the flip side, just know that Christ, he corrects his church, he cleanses his church, he protects his church, He covenants with his church. Oh, and yeah. So we, there are beautiful benefits of being a part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. That's great. It's really good. Well, I hope again, this episode was an encouragement to you, gave you some things to think about and what it looks like in your life. And Lori, I appreciate your input and comments as always. And again, we just want to encourage everybody, if this ministered to you or helped you, you would consider sharing this and passing it on, and that we continue to grow our listener base of this podcast, and we have been. And again, those of you that have written or given words of encouragement, we hear those, and they are very encouraging. And so thank you for that. Well, hope you all have a great week in walking with Jesus. And so God bless you all.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.